Good morning and welcome to the Atlanta Business Radio Show. I'm Amy Otto, joined by Lee Cantor. Good morning, Lee.
Good morning, Miss Amy. How are you doing today?
I'm doing great.
You look all chipper. It's weather.
It's the weather, and I've been up since 4 o'clock in the morning. It's midday.
That's the secret. It's lunchtime, right?
Yeah, that's right.
So you got big plans?
Not for lunch, no. I'm working all day. Hey, you have any big plans for the weekend?
Yes, my child's getting bar mitzvah. This is a big day in our family.
I can't wait. And Lee, it's going to be my first time.
No.
Yeah, did you not know that?
I did not know that.
It's my first bar mitzvah. I've never been.
Wow, that's not a lot of bar mitzvahs in Kansas? No?
No.
Who knew?
Who knew? Can't wait. I know that that's a big, big deal for your family. So
they're all starting to come in.
Yeah, I'm looking forward to meeting all of them.
And they're looking forward to meeting you.
You know, the best part, I'm waiting to hear all the Lee stories. I'm sure, I've met your dad, but I'm sure they've all got some good stories.
I'm sure they do.
So to all of our listeners, next week, tune in for the Lee Cantor. Yeah. When Lee was 7, I can't wait to hear about that. Lee, I'm excited about our show today. We feature a lot of women in business, and, you know, that excites me because I love to meet successful women. I'm thrilled to have Cynthia Good with us today because she's the epitome of a successful woman, and she's helping women to be more successful. Welcome to the Atlanta Business Radio Show, Cynthia Good from Pink and the Little Pink Book.
Thank you so much. Really happy to be with you today.
So you have a long history in Atlanta. Maybe tell us a little bit about your background. You've done a lot of things.
Really started when I came to Atlanta back in 1986 and worked on air for Fox 5. And we became the number one Fox affiliate in the country during that time and then left and wrote a few books, created a few TV shows. Good for Parents was one of the TV shows we created and then really focused on that women's market because there was such a need and launched a women's business publication in Atlanta. And then we launched Pink, a national women's business title.
So the listeners that aren't familiar with Pink, let them know how they can look forward to it every morning at 9 o'clock like I do. I open up my email and I see my little email from the Little Pink Book, and it's concise. It's always full of great tips. Tell folks how they can reach that.
It's available on littlepinkbook.com, and it is a daily e-note, as you mentioned, and we send these out to women all over the country. We send out more than 1.5 million of them every single month. We're also reaching women, amazingly, in 126 foreign countries as well, and we just provide a really short piece of information every day to help women find greater success in their careers and thus more joy in their lives.
No doubt. And the technology has really improved how many folks we can reach, like you just mentioned, gosh, 126 countries. Can you give us some insight on some other ways in which the media business has changed?
The media business has changed dramatically. When we launched Pink, we launched as a national women's business magazine, print, remember those days. And now because of technology and our audience being fairly sophisticated and highly educated and very driven, we realized that they wanted to receive their content where they are, when they want it, how they want it, whether it's on their iPhone, the BlackBerry, the iPad. And so that's when we really made the move to digital. It just made more sense in so many different respects.
How are your colleagues in the TV world handling this transition?
Well, they're watching very closely because we're also distributing video. We do something called the Minute Mentor, and where we interview a high-level woman in business on a variety of topics, and in 1 minute, she can tell you via a TV segment that is distributed electronically through the Little Pink Book anything you need to know along the lines of getting a promotion, getting that raise, changing your career, and just being more successful in every sense of the word.
I love that. The best practices.
Right. That's so important.
Definitely. So tell us, what are some of the big trends? I know a lot of folks think that in Atlanta, in particular, there's a lot of women in business and a lot of women in leadership positions. Can you speak to that a little bit?
You're right, Amy. I mean, you look around and the women who are at the top, I mean, whether it's on the national landscape or here in the Atlanta area, are very visible. So it's easy to have the perspective that women really are in so many of these leadership positions. In fact, one of the studies that was done nationally showed that 89% of the American public is comfortable with women in leadership positions. However, and here's the huge disconnect, only 18% of leadership positions are filled by women. So there is this huge inequity that I don't think people are really aware of.
Why do you think that is?
That people aren't aware of it?
No, why do you think that there aren't as many women in leadership positions, even though that everybody accepts that they're okay with that?
Because the fact of the matter is, I believe that, you know, corporate America really was created for and by Caucasian men.
Uh-huh.
No fault of the men. We love men. I'm happily married, have two sons and adore them, and we work with many fantastic men too. But the reality is that is the corporate culture, and it's very, very difficult for women to move into those positions. And so that's really what we try to do here at Pink. And we also work with a number of big businesses that appreciate that and that have seen the data and know that diversity results in a better bottom line.
But what about the women entrepreneurs that grow the large companies? Why do you think there aren't as many as them as the number of women who are starting businesses?
I think, you know, amazingly, there are a lot of just little things that women can do to elevate their position when it comes to even getting an opportunity. And we have an upcoming Pink event on November 15th right here in Atlanta. Some of the most powerful and successful women in business will be on the panel. And they will tell you, women who supervise thousands of employees will tell you, it's always the man who's in the boss's office, for instance, saying, I want to do this. I want to take on this other opportunity. Put me in line for a raise. The women, they get in early. They work hard. They put their nose to the grindstone. They leave late. But they aren't out there networking. They aren't in the boss's office saying, this is what I did for our organization over the last 6 months. And this is where I'd like to go in the future because I can be more valuable to the organization. So that's why we share this content daily and hold events like the one happening on November 15th.
So self-promotion, you think, is a skill that more women need to learn?
Absolutely. That's one of many things women can do to act in their own enlightened self-interest.
What are some of the other things that women can do to help differentiate themselves and make themselves successful? Do you have any tips? I see your tips that are on this little bookmark, which a lot of them are great. I'm going to keep that.
And Amy is referring to our success secrets. Every time we do an event, this will be our sixth year in a row that we've had an event series. We call them the empowerment events. We always take note from all the top women we interview, and they share what makes it work for them. Ask for what you want is number one. Ban the word can't. Have the courage to do what you love. If you don't like it, fix it. Your job starts when someone says no. The guys tend to think, you know, someone tells them no, you're back in the office the next week. Women tend to think, oh, they said no, that's it. And that's why having the chance to listen to the women on this panel, including Penny McIntyre, who is the only female corporate officer at Newell Rubbermaid right next door to where we're taping this, actually. She oversees close to a $2 billion P&L. She's the president of a global business unit for that company. To hear somebody like that say, this is how I made it, and this is what I'm seeing in terms of leading other women within the organization. Emily Giffen, New York Times best-selling author. She 5 novels out, 3 of them have been optioned for film. Initially, she was an attorney. How did she tap into what she was passionate about? How did she find the courage to do what she loves and to become this huge success? Lisa Price, owner of Carol's Daughter, thriving woman-owned business who now has outlets all across the country, will share her success secrets. And one of the top women of MetLife will share as well. And MetLife is the presenting sponsor of this event for the second year in a row, which I think is a great testament because it shows that major companies in this country are standing up and saying, we support women's professional success. We hear what you're saying, and we know that we can help deliver this kind of information to elevate all the women in our company and externally, and the women who we value as customers, because let's face it, women are making all those consumer purchasing decisions.
So you think it's better for women to kind of follow a path through the corporate ranks into big companies rather than be entrepreneurial and start their own thing?
Well, the master idea for Pink is courage to do what you love.
Uh-huh.
Every woman defines that a little bit differently. For somebody like Penny McIntyre and so many of the women who are in major corporations, Aflac and the others, it is pursuing that corporate path. Some of the other sponsors of this event, Jackson Lewis, for instance, the law firm, Southern Company, FedEx, Microsoft are some of our other sponsors. The women within those organizations do want to have the chance to rise up through the ranks and to take one of those top jobs. For others, it's pursuing your own thing, Lee. And as you mentioned, women are starting companies twice the rate of men.
Right.
So that's a huge sweet spot for a growing number of women.
But for somebody like you, you've worked in big corporations and now you're doing your own thing, right?
Right. And the reason really why we launched the magazine is because we saw a huge need that wasn't on the radar for the major publishing and media firms to reach women and to deliver this kind of content in a way that is palatable to women who are very ambitious, in a way that speaks to them and gives them the kind of information they want and need. No one else was doing that in the country.
Now, how was that transition for you from coming from a big corporation to now kind of a eat what you kill world where you had to create things from nothing?
Well, I mean, it's exciting and challenging all at the same time, and I think it really pushes your limits, and it's exciting.
So what do you like better? Do you like the big corporate, or do you like the entrepreneurial?
I like the entrepreneurial, but I think it's an age thing, too. You know, once you've been in the corporate world for a quarter of a century, maybe that's the time to think about going out on your own, and a lot of women are at that point.
Has there been any surprises for you along the way when you made that change? I'm sure that day after you decided, hey, you know what, I'm on my own now.
There's no
help desk. You know, this is
Someone's got to put the paper clips
exactly,
in the desk
exactly.
drawer. Well, I mean, certainly in that respect, that's a challenge. I think the biggest aha for me and for so many women business owners is you do create a business because you're passionate about something. For me, it was, you know, tapping into the media as a canvas to make a positive difference in this context in the lives of women who are passionate about what they do and want to succeed. But the trick is, can you create your own enterprise and still do what you love to do every single day when you're managing people, you're dealing with contracts, you're trying to close business, all those other aspects right. that come into play once you become an entrepreneur?
For sure. Any advice, any pearls of wisdom for those that are on the fence? Because it is sort of a security blanket to work in corporate America as opposed to jumping in with both feet to start something on your own.
Well, I mean, no doubt you've got to have the courage to do what you love. Life is short. You've got to follow your heart. You've got to leap, and that's when the net will appear. However, and I think too often women are told, follow your passion. It is not enough. And we just did a piece in Little Pink Book. And if you go to littlepinkbook.com, you can do a search for passion. Tons of stuff will come up, all sorts of resources for women who are entrepreneurs. But it takes more than passion. You got to have a solid business plan. You got to have the dollars to back it up. You've got to have that strategy in place and the business acumen. More women are going to college and graduating with degrees and master's degrees as well. But fewer women are graduating from business school. And I still think that we're missing that opportunity. You got to have that piece of it, too, in order to have your organization thrive.
You definitely need the passion, that's for sure. And so many women have passion. We're passionate about things, but I think there's just that fear. So
you're right, and that's one reason why I think Pink and Little Pink Book are so successful. The companies we do business with, like MetLife, The Home Depot, FedEx, Estee Lauder, and so many others, love connecting with these women because we are so passionate about our lives and making a difference in the world. And they're very, very engaged, and they're the influencers. These are the women who are making the decisions and leading the way for so many others. And we're excited to have a robust community of women like that.
And where do you find your community? Because your financial tips, and Lee knows, and most of our listeners probably know too, we do finance shows and it's hard to keep me awake. That's not my passion. It's not my forte, but I like how you almost spoon feed me and your experts do a great job of breaking it down into terms that I understand. Where do you find these folks?
Well, I mean, that's really the thing, Amy. I mean, our readers in our community is very similar to you. Busy women who are doing so much in their lives are so full, they're ready to take the next leap in terms of their career, so they want their information distilled in a way that makes the complex simple and interesting and speaks to you and your interest. And that's what we try to do, while at the same time delivering that kind of financial information that you need to be more financially independent and successful. Career information, whether it's for women business owners, every month Monday. That's all we do on Little Pink Book. Leadership on Tuesdays. Finance on Tuesdays. Leadership and career on Wednesdays. Life balance on Thursdays. And then we've got to have some fun with the fashion for the boardroom on Fridays in Little Pink Book.
I love the theme. And I do love that it's concise, because there's nothing worse than opening an email or a big attachment and it's like, oh, this is going to take me some time.
We try for every Little Pink Book piece to be less than 250 words. And Lee, you'll appreciate this. Initially, as a journalist, having that my background, I was concerned, can you really change the world in 250 words? But the Gettysburg Address was right about 250 words. So I guess we can accomplish a few things.
That's a good thing. And I look forward to the fashion tips because, you know, I don't like to shop, Lee.
Right. It's efficient for you, right?
Gosh, it's very efficient. Yeah. I'm like, oh, that looks good.
And you can do business right there, right online. Just with the click of the mouse.
Clicking the link. I did that at Christmas time, too. A lot of gifts.
Right. You find a gift and then boom, you could buy it.
Yeah,
That's right up your alley.
It is. I did shopping within 3 minutes. Ooh, that would be nice. Yeah, it's perfect.
And that's another reason why I think it even works for our advertisers even better than the magazine did, because the magazine, you know, it's always so hard to measure, to get metrics on that. You never know if somebody's going to act on that ad. But when you are digital and you're online, you can measure everything, and it's a much higher engagement level because it's right there in front of you.
Yeah,
So Pink has email, newsletter, they have events, they have TV. What else is part of it? So the magazine's no longer?
We are 100% digital right now. Really proud of it, saving a lot of trees, much better business model, much better for our advertisers and our women in our community. They are also tapping in a really big way into social media because you can share everything you read immediately. We're on Twitter, Facebook, LinkedIn, and all of that. And so it's just a great way for women to connect with each other. And you can comment. So you can share your own expertise through Little Pink Book. If there's a story you read, you have an opinion, you have a suggestion, or you have a question.
Right. So it's a dialogue. You create dialogue with all your, members, or it's a community?
It's a community. Uh-huh. It's a community of women who are passionate about their work and their lives, want to make a difference, and want to elevate their careers. And the tagline really is a beautiful career and a beautiful life. And then, of course, all of that is enhanced and brought to life through the event series.
Are there charities you support or nonprofits?
We do. Every single event we have ever held over the last 6 years, we have selected a nonprofit that supports women or girls. It's Kate's Club will benefit at the November 15th event here in Atlanta. We've raised more than $70,000 in cash for these nonprofits, and we're very proud of that. And also the community has been so great. I mean, Tiffany and Spa Seidel, and I don't want to leave anybody out, but the Atlanta Opera. There are so many local organizations that have donated really fantastic gift items that we'll be giving away at the event, too. And, of course, there are those goodie bags, which we all love.
Absolutely. Tell us a little bit more about the event so folks can engage and come to that on November 15th.
It's on November 15th at the Intercontinental Hotel in Buckhead. Our presenting sponsor for the second year in a row is MetLife. So really proud of the fact that they stood up and said, we want to support women's professional success. Jackson Lewis, Southern Company, FedEx, Ernst & Young, ING, Microsoft. I'm probably leaving a number out. But we've got a great group of sponsors, and we will have hundreds of women who will be attending. Great for networking, great to get your next job, close some business, meet some fantastic women, find out how to make a difference in the world. And our panelists are always world class.
That's terrific.
And where do they learn more about it?
Littlepinkbook.com.
That's
just
where
on
everything
events.
Is?
That's
wow.
where everything is. It's
cool.
All right there. Would love to have you.
Awesome.
You know, the funny thing, Lee, is when I get my little e-blast or my little e-newsletter, sometimes it's so cool that I'll put it on my Facebook, and it's easy to do because there's a little Facebook
share.
Link.
It's easy, to share.
Easy to share. And once I share it on Facebook, some women comment, but a lot of the guys comment. I think they're kind of jealous.
Well,
it's like we've got our own little community blue book.
Is there a little blue book we can work on?
That's coming next. You never know.
Not a bad idea. Maybe our next guest will come up with that.
Yeah, probably.
What do you think? Cynthia, any final thoughts for our listeners? There's a lot of great information, and your passion definitely shows, and I love what you're doing for women.
I think just that if you're a business in the Atlanta area and you want to demonstrate to your women internally that you care about their professional development, being part of the Pink event is a great way to do it. So definitely join us. There are opportunities to have a table, and I think it makes a really big statement, too, to your customers that you care about that. And if there are women who you care about, who are your friends or colleagues or employees, and you want to see them find greater success, you do have the chance to share a Little Pink Book with them, and it's free.
Terrific.
Cool.
Thanks for being with us today, Cynthia.
Thanks for having us on your show.
Great information. Lee, our next guest, who knows, he may have the Little Blue Book coming up. Next up, we have Bill Mann, who's the CEO of Interactive Technology Enterprises. Welcome to the Atlanta Business Radio Show.
Yeah, thank you, Amy. I'm glad to be here.
We have to have some testosterone in here to balance the room
out.
A little bit.
You know, it's a little estrogen fest going on over here.
We've done women in business shows, and I feel bad for Lee over there. Sometimes he's like, oh, all these women.
There's never a men in business show. You notice that?
That's every day, Lee.
Is that what we're gonna call it that?
Okay. So, Bill, tell us about your business.
Well, Interactive Technology Enterprises is a very unique company. We are focused on bringing communities together from a brick-and-mortar standpoint as well as from a digital standpoint. And one of the things we're looking at for our communities are making sure we have the proper infrastructure in place from a digital standpoint, being able to communicate with people all over the world from a global standpoint. You have just a guest here just a minute ago talking about her community. One of the things we want to do is be able to bring structure to that, because the Internet is very wild. It's like a two-year-old child. So what we're trying to do now is bring some structure to the Internet to where it's easy for people to communicate and interact with one another.
And how do you do that? I've been to your website. There's a lot of information there.
Thank you so
much. Walk us through the process.
Well, we're going to try to stay focused on a couple of things. One is we have a content delivery network, and we have the proper bandwidth to be able to deliver content from a video standpoint, as well as being able to transport information globally. And by doing that, we have a focused model to be able to tackle or attack the core value of our communities: health and well-being, education, entertainment, as well as retail. So we have put different applications in place that address these critical issues in our community.
Can you talk about one of them?
Yeah, I'll start off with One Man Entertainment.
Okay.
One Man Entertainment is very unique.
Is that named after you?
Well,
are you the one man entertainment?
Sometimes I feel like it. But what's happening is actually a spiritual thing, being able to come together as one, because the entertainment business has been, I would say, not for the content creative individual or the artist. So we're looking to reverse that, meaning we're talking about putting the power back into the artist. So by us having the type of network and the media distribution platform, we're in a very unique position to say, as an artist or a songwriter, author, book writer, film producer, you can come on this particular digital platform and for a very low cost. For example, artists, we're signing them up at $25 a month, and they get 100% royalties of the sale of their music. And we're not interested in the publishing, none of that. We're just a subscription base, and we help promote the artists as well. So by doing that, it gives the power back to the artists, because we have analytical reporting that gives real time, are you viewing on your iPhone, iPad, PC, television. So we have a focused model to bring content, very unique content of substance. We're not like the YouTubes or the iTunes where everything is uploaded. We're looking for quality music, quality content.
So you don't accept just anybody?
You're absolutely right.
Okay, so like a record company, you know, like a conventional record company that has a band, like, say, the Rolling Stones or something, they take the bulk of the money, right?
That's correct.
And the artist gets, you know, it's pennies, right?
You're absolutely
per right. download. Mm-hmm. And then your model, the artist would get 100%. So if I sell a single on your platform for a dollar, I get to keep the whole dollar?
Yes, sir, minus the merchant transaction fee, which is about 30%. So
I would keep, you know, 70% of the transaction?
Yes, sir.
As opposed to if I was on iTunes and sold that same single for a dollar, I would keep, isn't it just?
It's about 6 cents.
6 cents, right?
You're kidding me. Is it really that low?
Yeah.
I had no idea.
Because Apple takes probably 30%.
That's
and
right.
then the music, the record label takes probably 50%, I would say.
Absolutely.
And then whatever little pennies are left, that's what the artist gets, yeah.
Wow. I was going to ask you how one-man entertainment is different, but then, now I think I know.
Now you get it.
Now I get it,
well,
definitely.
Well, that's only one reason why we are different. The other thing is, by being able to focus just on, we're looking, our target is 15,000 artists.
Mm-hmm.
And we're able to manage and promote those artists at that particular time. So that's the reason why we say of quality. We're not looking for the one-hit wonders.
Right.
We are looking for true musicianship, because what has happened over the course of the years, we have lost that. And it's really a lost art when you start talking about it. It was kind of embarrassing when I went to my high school, and I attended Douglas High School here in Atlanta.
Oh, okay.
And I was in the band. I was a drummer, I'm proud to say, and the section leader. Uh-huh. But what happened, I went to one of the games, and the time I was coming up, it was close to 400 or 500 band members.
Right.
And now it's 40.
No.
40.
You're kidding me.
So it was almost.
The band went from 400 to 40 kids?
To about 40 to 50. I'll put it this way. 20% of the band was drummers. And
oh,
you had
wow.
about 40, you know, musicians.
Right.
Trumpet players. And back back in the day.
Right.
It was close to about 40 trumpet players.
Why do you think that is? That's terrible.
Well, it's a big problem. It has something to do with our education system,
mm-hmm.
because they have taken the arts.
Right.
Out yeah. of the school.
Right, I know. I heard they cut a lot of music programs in the
right.
middle schools and high schools.
Yeah, so we have an educational program that's wrapped around. By us having this content delivery network, we're in a position to bring education back to individuals who might be interested in music.
Right.
But, you know, that's what we're.
Now, in your platform, are you finding that major artists are leaving their label to come to you because you offer such a better deal?
Well, what's happening, we're focused on targeting the independent artists.
Uh-huh.
Okay. And there a lot of major artists they're leaving, or the record companies are now beginning to cut their budget, so they're no longer with them anyway.
Right.
So we're just, and by that, they can come in at a different level, meaning they already have an established fan base.
Right.
So we really don't have to just focus on building a fan base.
Oh, that's what you do as well as build their fan base?
Yes. Yeah, we actually, when you go to One Man On Demand, mm-hmm. We have actually multiple sites. And we have a media page that we are promoting the independent artists. So, for example, the artists come up and introduce themselves, what they're doing, tell them a little bit about their music. And, you know, it can go back to the e-commerce platform to where you can actually purchase and buy.
Mm-hmm.
So it's not just a platform where someone have to search.
Right.
And then the other thing is most, I would say, producers, songwriters, they have been taught to be in a box, meaning if you're going to play R&B, that's what you're going to be.
Right.
Okay. And you've been in this box for many, many years. So what we're saying, we're looking for the creative content individual, because most artists, songwriters, producers, they have just a plethora of music. They deal with jazz. They deal with gospel.
Yeah, whatever mood they're in. Right.
Right. So we want to promote all of that.
Mm-hmm.
So we're not putting them in a box. So we're saying, you do R&B, that's great. We're going to help promote that, but you're also doing gospel. Let's put that out as well.
Now, is it done through albums, or is it everything kind of by the song? Because now you have a handful of R&B songs, a handful of gospel songs. You know, is that how it is now?
Well, because of our platform, we have a focus model for the faith-based industry.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, then we will have a focus model on the jazz,
right,
hip-hop. And so when we start doing the blogging and, you know, Facebook and Twitter, it's focused on that particular genre of music.
Right.
But this comes back to the whole theme of the company, the interactive of it.
Right.
Because although you might be a jazz listener, there's someone that's coming from Africa that has some very unique sounds,
right,
that we can interact our content. And that's the reason why we want it to be manageable.
Uh-huh.
Talk a little bit about Global Med. I mean, your website does have a lot of different things on it, but that fascinated me a little bit, and I wanted to know more. Can you elaborate on that?
Yes, I can. Global Med is a very unique company as well. We is all centered around the content delivery network, being able to promote physicians. This day and time, because of the
physician musicians.
That's right.
Well, to be honest with you, it's similar. That they have a similar problem.
Right.
Because most hospitals, let me back up, most doctors do not have a website.
Right.
Their sites are...
it's just like where you're located.
Correct.
Right.
And if you with, let's say, Wells, not calling nobody out, but just say WellStar for example.
Right.
WellStar is pretty much handling all of your
right.
promotion.
Sure.
And because some of the new laws this day and time, what's begin to happen is that physicians need to be promoted. And by doing that, they need a platform to be promoted. And what we're doing is branding them, being able to manage some of the, to me, when they do their cases, is content.
Right.
And if you're able to promote and being able to get out and say, here's some of the things, here's my skill set, this is the reason why I'm a different cardiologist versus right. someone else, it needs to be known.
Right.
And if you don't have that platform, then therefore no one will know. In this day and time, you have to do that because of the new laws. And the new laws that have occurred is that you don't have to be in the network, you know, the referring network.
Uh-huh.
Patients now have the opportunity to go to any physician they want to. So now a physician has to let people know I'm out here.
Right.
So by doing that, we have a knowledge-based platform. And on this knowledge-based platform, that's how we're getting the physicians to say, hey, here's what I'm doing. It's a little bit different because when you think about it, some physicians have to see 40 to 50 customers a day, and you break that down to minutes and hours, and, you know, that's how some patients be like, he didn't see me but for five minutes,
because right? yeah. he's got 40 to see in today.
Yeah,
so, right.
so we're trying to give the physicians an opportunity to get back to their practice, and by doing that on this knowledge-based platform, they have this opportunity to promote their products, mm-hmm. be able to promote themselves.
So just like an artist, a musician would, right?
That's correct. Mm-hmm. And we'll take it a step further. Most physicians, especially of a certain skill set, they have to go out or they have to fly people in to see what's going on. Because our content delivery network, we're in a position to be able to say, you can multicast, well, a lot of people say streaming, but it's really multicasting out over a secured network. So you can bring global attention to you to where people all over the world can see what you're doing and what you're promoting.
Meaning, like, to shed light on their personality and their bedside manner or actual technique, like surgeries? And
could you show actual surgery? Are you allowed to do that?
Well, that depends on the hospital
right.
and, you know, certain rules and regulations. But our network is in HIPAA compliance,
mm-hmm.
so we do have that capability.
Wow.
That'd be cool.
That makes so much sense, because when you look at a list in a directory and you're picking a doctor,
you have no idea.
Yeah.
It's just like, you know, you're just pulling a name out of a hat.
Yeah, definitely pulling a name out of a hat. So talk a little bit about this bandwidth you were addressing earlier.
Well, we're in a very unique position. I've been able to strategically align myself to have what we call cross-connects and interconnects with some of your major carriers. And also we're in a position to have enough bandwidth. I'll put it this way. Let me back up a little bit. Bandwidth is very essential today. It's more or less like the new real estate, okay? And a lot of people are very interested in having a pretty website, but if you don't have the right structure or infrastructure to help promote, capture that customer base, it's like what's going on today. For example, a lot of people coming in, you know, going to your website, but you're not able to really capture their customer base.
Right.
It's like someone coming into your home and say, oh, Amy, I like your living room furniture, and take your furniture and walk out. Oh, by the way, your husband look great, too. So we're going to take him as well. So, you know, but, you know, it is essential that you have a structure behind your website to where it's not just anybody coming through the door and leaving at any time.
Mm-hmm.
So we're putting structure behind it, and that requires a lot of bandwidth. So when you start talking, we're in a media age, and how do we deliver media and content, and you need the proper bandwidth to do that. So you don't get the little buffering. You know, sometimes you'd be looking at one of the other websites and it start stuttering
right.
and mm-hmm. or you
right.
know.
Right.
yeah.
That's bandwidth. So you have to have the proper network infrastructure to be able to accommodate that, and we're able to handle up to probably about 3 million viewers at the same time.
Wow, that should be plenty.
Yeah,
that mm-hmm. that should be definitely plenty. Unless there's 3 million people looking at the same doctor at the same time, right? Very interesting. So, how long has your company been around, and where do you see it maybe in 5 years?
Well, I've been studying this technology actually about 20 plus years. My background is inbound technology, multicasting, and ATM switching and fiber optics. So those are my studies, and I've been doing it for about 20-plus years. So I've had a transition, I'll put it that way, through the years, because now technology has just evolved for us to execute. ITE been in business ever since January 2010 with a startup company, and we have made great strides. I mean, I have some great people around me. To they make me look good, so it's not just me, you know.
Yeah, we know it's just you. Relax. We know you're the brains of the operation.
No, I was just telling Amy earlier, they really don't let me out much, which is a positive thing. So,
wow, a lot of knowledge to share, no doubt. Who are the folks that are listening that should be contacting you and calling you and using your services?
Well, we'll say artists, songwriters, authors, physicians, anyone in the medical industry. I think that would be a good start.
Okay.
So an author, it's the same setup for an author as it is for a musician?
Yes, sir. You know, because you have a lot of authors out there.
Right.
So long as they their content is in an e-file, we can upload it, very subscription-based, and mm-hmm. they receive all their proceeds.
Wow. Yeah. Good to know.
So instead of going to iTunes to purchase my books,
you can just call them up. Boom.
That's amazing. Now, would I get video footage or?
He's got it all.
Yeah, we have it all. We have video.
So I could get Lee talking about your book.
If my book was on there, because his is, he has to pick who goes on there. It's not anybody, right?
Right. It's not like YouTube where anybody can.
Yeah, let's kind of talk about that. See, once again, it's information. Mm-hmm. And by us being in the information age, book writers are a little bit different than musician.
Right.
Okay. So to me, it's important to get that type of content because so many people have different things to say.
Sure.
From a book standpoint. But from an artist standpoint, it's just all over the place because a lot of people are looking for this little one hit.
Right.
But, you know, so it's a different type of criteria mm-hmm. when we bring in book writers.
Uh-huh.
Yeah.
Cool.
I think it's a good avenue for you, Lee.
Thank you. I'll check into it.
By the way, I love your book.
Thank you. Did you actually read it?
Yes. Are you kidding me? I've been enjoying it. And yeah. So has my family, no doubt.
Sure.
So how can folks reach you to learn more about the services you provide?
Okay. Well, the website is www.iactivetech. That's iactivetech.com.
And then that if you get there, then you can kind of navigate wherever you want to go, right?
Yes, sir.
Terrific.
Cool.
Thanks for being our guest this morning. Great information.
Thank
that's
you.
That's exciting, Lee.
I know. Well, that's the future right there. You're looking at the future.
No doubt. And information and content and places to store it. Seems like more and more people are talking about content.
Yeah.
I mean, they're always looking for content. Mm-hmm. That's terrific.
Well, thank you so much for having me. It's truly an honor.
Well, thank you. And we'll keep up with you. Maybe you need to come on again in like 6 months, maybe a year.
Yeah. So we bring can get some of your update. Artists on.
That's right. Will.
Artists and authors and doctors.
Yeah.
That sounds like a joke. What do artists and authors and doctors have in common?
Right.
That's right. Thanks for being with us today, Bill.
Thank you.
Our next guest this morning, we have John Tolbert, who is with First Light Home Care. Welcome to the Atlanta Business Radio Show.
Thank you very much. It's truly an honor to be here this morning.
So tell us about First Light Home Care. What is it?
Sure. First Light Home Care is a non-medical home care business, primarily for senior citizens. I think all of us are staring at the possibility of turning 65 and older, and one of the biggest fears that I think most people have is what's going to happen if I get where I need an extra set of hands or an extra set of legs or extra set of eyes. And most of us don't want to, if we had our druthers, we would not want to go into a nursing home. And what First Light Home Care does is really allow senior citizens to live at home independently with dignity and grace, and that's exactly what we do.
So people who use your service, you're trying to keep the senior in the home as long as possible, right?
Absolutely.
Because people don't realize, like if you send them somewhere, that's expensive.
Right? Very expensive. It's around $68,000 a year is for an average stay in a nursing home.
Yeah.
Non-medical home services, which is what First Light does, is about half of that.
And then also, that's where the senior is more comfortable. It's their home.
Absolutely.
Right.
It is.
And this is a huge problem, right? Because we're not getting any younger, and there's lots of us.
There's
speak for
a lot
yourself, Lee.
You're getting younger.
Speak
I'm not.
Yourself.
I'm speaking for myself.
I read the other day on the internet. So
must be true.
It must be true. There's 17,000 people a day turning 65 years of age. So the population, I do know this, the 65 plus in terms of the demographics is going to double from where it is right now in the next 15 years. So
wow. You're in the right business.
It seems like it, yeah, absolutely.
So what made you decide to leave the East Coast and relocate to Atlanta and start this company?
Well, I'm actually from the Atlanta metropolitan area. Whenever I was 27 years of age, I became an entrepreneur, bought my first business, and moved to Greenville, South Carolina. It's not too far away from Atlanta, but and throughout the years from the age of 27 to 35, I purchased multiple businesses up and down the East Coast. I am an only child, and my parents were getting older. I got married, had a couple of kids, and I wanted to have my children have a relationship with my parents. Additionally, my parents were getting up in age, and I wanted to be close to them should they need me. So I made the decision. The timing was right. My wife and I sat down and talked, and we made the decision to move from Washington, D.C. area back to Atlanta. Alpharetta and Roswell, Georgia is my home, and my family has a long history there, so it felt right.
And what have you learned from previous business experiences that have helped you start this company?
Well, I'm being somewhat sarcastic, but not really. However amount of time you think it's going to take to break even, take that and multiply it, some people say by two, it's actually by three, and whatever you think it's going to cost you to get started, triple that. So I think the realistic expectation that comes from only true experience, I think that's one of the benefits I think that I have. Secondly, as everyone knows, as an entrepreneur, there's so many things that I call non-core to the business when you're first getting started, whether that's getting your payroll account set up or your merchant services account, your state income tax ID, all these different things that kind of can take up a ton of time and really stymie a business owner's growth. I've sort of learned through the years of how to navigate that. Am I an expert? Probably not, but I've got some experience with it where I can kind of get through that kind of stuff fairly quickly. So I think all those things combined, I'm hoping will give me a leg up in this new venture.
Were your previous businesses healthcare related?
They weren't, interestingly enough. My previous experience is B2B sales. I had up and down the East Coast, I had multiple offices where we sold overnight shipping and competed with FedEx and UPS.
Mm-hmm.
The other businesses I had were actually merchant services where I would go out and acquire merchants on behalf of the Royal Bank of Scotland. So I was always more into the B2B type of environment.
So how is this? Obviously, this is a high-touch B2C business.
It is.
Who typically hires you? Is it the senior or is it the family of the senior?
It's usually the family of the senior. And it can be the senior, of course, but we do a lot of networking. And to your point, Lee, it's a lot of high touch. We do a lot of networking with case managers at hospitals. We also do a lot of networking with assisted living facilities, rehab centers, anyone that has a fiduciary responsibility for seniors, financial planners, anyone that sells long-term care insurance. So you have to establish the credibility and the relationship over a long period of time. To your point, you can't just go out and present a case and present a argument or a service to someone and say, "Oh, well, okay, well, I'm going to start referring business." It takes a while for that to happen,
right,
for sure.
Is your service usually triggered by some sort of an event, like maybe the senior fell down or something happened physically, where the family's like, "Oh, we have to do something," and I live in another state and we need somebody here to take care of mom?
That's exactly the unfortunate situations that we see ourselves in most of the time. Frankly, around the holidays or in the summer, whenever the adult kids come back to visit their parents and
they
realize,
notice a change.
Absolutely.
Mm-hmm.
And so around the holidays, we see an uptick in terms of inbound phone calls to our offices. Or to your point, it can also be if they've had a mild stroke or fallen and broken a hip and can't get around, their mobility has been limited. That's whenever we get called.
And how about the economy? Has that affected y'all at all, positively or negatively?
Well, I would say positively,
really?
Actually. Yeah, the reason I say that is kind of touch on the point that I brought up earlier. The assisted living facilities, the nursing homes, things of that nature are a much more costly opportunity, $68,000 or $2,000 a month just to live in an assisted living facility, never mind all the other ancillaries that come along with that. With the economy being what it is, we offer a cost-effective, affordable opportunity for the senior to live in their home. That's the first thing. The second thing is, frankly, there's people who have a very caring or servants mentality, my caregivers. With this economy being what it is, frankly, you get really high-end caregivers and people who are putting in applications that maybe 3 or 4 years ago before this economy turned would never even have thought about this as being an opportunity. So from those two angles, I would say it has been a positive.
And where do you see your growth? I mean, are you planning on expanding to other areas? Are you going to stay in the Atlanta metro area?
I'm going to be here in Atlanta metro area. Having said that, this is a franchise-based business. The corporate headquarters, even though I'm an owner here in Atlanta, is out of Cincinnati, Ohio. There's opportunities to work from work at corporate to go out and train and help other franchise owners set up their offices, and that's really where I'm looking to take this. And there's other opportunities to buy additional territory here in the Atlanta market, which is what I plan on doing. I plan on owning the entire Atlanta metro area. But no, given my family situation, Atlanta's home. I'm not looking to move anytime soon, that's for sure.
Can you talk about some of the services you provide? Because people may not be familiar with the kind of services you offer.
Absolutely. So we can do anything from your grandmother just needs a ride to the grocery store, to the beauty salon a couple hours a week. Maybe they just need some help around the house, cooking light meals, doing some light housekeeping, to something much more serious where you're having to bathe the client, or maybe they have incontinence, or they need 24-hour, 7-day-a-week type of care.
You could do that as well?
We absolutely can. Yeah.
So are they nurses or they're not nurses?
I do have a CNA. I mean, I'm RN on staff. Mm-hmm. She does my assessments whenever, and I appreciate the opportunity to kind of tell you how this works.
Right.
Whenever we get a referral or an inbound phone call, we will go out and do an in-home assessment. On that in-home assessment, my RN, along with my caregiver coordinator, will go out to the individual's home and talk to them to kind of see what's changed in their life that would warrant them to put a phone call into us, kind of see how their home is set up. And at that point, we'll make recommendations on the level of care that they need. After that, it's typically either a CNA that will be assigned.
And what CNA stand for?
Yeah, Certified Nursing Assistant.
Uh-huh.
Okay.
And the important thing, Lee and Amy, what we do as well is once we go out and do the in-home assessment and make the recommendation as the type of care the client is going to need, our care coordinator, who the client has already met, will actually go back out with the CNA and meet the client and make sure there's a personality match, that they like each other, and there's going to be a 30 to 45 minute, maybe even longer, rapport building session to make sure that we are matching.
It's a good fit personality-wise, because that's probably critical.
It's absolutely essential. If we don't have that, if we don't have the relationship, then it's just not a good thing, and we're going to make sure that we do.
And what's the typical time frame that people stay with you?
It really ranges depending on the, frankly, the condition of the patient. Sometimes we do know that it's going to be short term, and I mean sometimes less than 90 days in a lot of situations. Mm-hmm. But our average client is going to be about a year with us.
Wow, so that's a year of saving $68,000 a year.
Plus, yes, and plus, being given the comfort level of being at home.
Right. The quality of life there is probably 100 times better than any, even the finest assisted livings, I would think.
It is. And I'll tell you, just share one story that's close to my heart, is both my parents, as I mentioned, I'm the only child, both my parents worked. And my grandmother, who was born in 1902, had a very big hand in raising me. And whenever she fell sick, she had a terminal inoperable brain tumor, and we knew that she didn't have long to live. A lot of the people in my extended family wanted to put her into a facility. My parents and myself, I was older at that time, we chose to have a caregiver come in the last month of her life. And it made, you got to remember, she lived there on the same property her entire life. And it made a huge difference for not only her, but for the family as well.
Sure.
There's so much to be said for keeping them in their own home.
I'm sure everybody agrees that's the best for the the person.
When my grandmother, who died at 103, when we put her in a nursing home because nobody lived close by, the nursing home was like a block and a half away from where she lived.
Right.
So wow. We had to take her out on the expressway and spin her around a little bit so she didn't realize she was that close to home, because she would have walked home.
She would have escaped.
Yeah, and I'll tell you that the decline in just her everything, her morale and everything went down because right. She liked her home.
Right. I mean she was there for how long? I mean, that's the thing.
Yeah.
You move them literally a block away, huge you might as deal. Well be moving them to the other side of the planet.
Oh, you're right. You're
absolutely.
Definitely
in
right.
terms of mindset, yeah.
And just taking away the independence, not being able to garden, not being able to make your own meals or even grocery shop.
Right.
You know, those
right.
are all things that you think that you give up.
You would think that my parents now are in their mid-70s, and they've seen the area in which they live kind of grow up around them. If they lost the ability, and they are getting actually kind of skittish about driving, mm-hmm. if they lost the ability to drive and go to the supermarket and go out and do those types of things, without having the opportunity of, again, our service can be as simple as, hey, maybe you just need to go to the grocery store or the beauty shop a couple hours a week. That's completely right. fine. So it gives them the opportunity. And so, I mean, it would exacerbate if they couldn't get out and drive. I think it would exacerbate whatever the condition right. they were in.
And it would get worse much faster. I mean, all of a sudden now it's like they're depressed, you know, it's like mm-hmm. hopeless. You know, all those negative emotions start coming into play.
Absolutely.
Yeah, no doubt. Well, thanks for being with us this morning. How can folks reach you if they're listening and they have a need for your services?
Sure. Our phone number, the best way to get in touch with us, because this is such a personal service, the best way to get in touch with us is going to be through a telephone call. And I will guarantee you that you will always have someone answer the telephone, because we do man that 24 hours, 7 days a week. Our number is 678-905-3039. If someone would prefer, certainly they can go to the website, which is www.firstlighthomecare.com.
Terrific.
Cool.
Great information.
Well, thank you guys so much for having me.
Sure. Thanks for being with us today. Lee, great show.
I know. We had a little of everything, huh?
We did. And I kind of like having only three guests, because we get to spend more time with them.
Yeah. Imagine that.
Yeah.
Three.
I feel a little bit more relaxed
If we
today.
Had six or seven, we would have gotten to know three more people.
That's right. Wonderful show. Thanks to all of our guests. Thank you to our listeners. We hope you have a fabulous week. Until next week, I'm Amy Otto with the Atlanta Business Radio Show. Have a wonderful day.